Blog Talk Radio.
And the call-in number is 347-857-3293. And tonight there is a lot to report from the struggles that are going on all over the world. And tonight our theme is the real implications of the war at home and abroad. The purpose is to connect the dots so that we can effectively unite and fight back. What are we fighting against? We are fighting against the oppression of colonialism and imperialism. What are the examples of imperialism and colonialism? The American capitalist system and our everyday lives. So without further ado, Brother Ralph Pointer, what's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters, and thank you once again for tuning in, because as Sister Betty has stated, what is the purpose of our program? Well, when she says connect the dots, we want to connect the people and the issues so that we can better conclude what are the best strategies to end this problem. And we must recognize that this problem is a continuation. Now, one of the things that happened today on WBAI, they were fundraising in order to bring issues on the FM dial, community radio, and tell the truth about the issues. And one of the fundraising gifts was a book and a video of Slavery Under Another Name for $185. I think everybody should get this particular promotion because it not only helps save WBAI, but it is a reminder of the real implication of what's happening today. And we, those of us, you including on this blog, are familiar with this issue of slavery under another name, so familiar with it that we have almost forgotten about it. It's so much a part of our awareness, so much a part of American life, that we move on. We move on because there are so many other issues, none more fundamental than the issue of slavery under another name, because it continues in various ways. Everything in America under another name, code words. But we almost accept that. I had forgotten about the major companies having contract labor. I mean, people being arrested for vagrancy, other such nonsense, and contracted out to various companies. U.S. Steel, I'd forgotten about that. The steel mills, the coal mines, and every related industry right up into the year 2009, 2010. We forget the reason behind the Great Migration. But those reasons continue today. They have a different name, but it's the same. I hope we're still on. Yes, I see we're still on. The issues are always the same. And as we stated on this program before, we are still the caboose on this train of American capitalism. No matter how many cars they add onto this train, we are still the caboose. And we must ask ourselves the question as to why. How is it that we seem to always have the wrong philosophy for our problems? And I must say that here we are today, most of us, or many of the people of color who are involved politically at all, have the same agenda as the Democratic Party, except the Democratic Party agenda does not support us. But we support the Democratic Party for fear of Trump, which is without reciprocation. We, again, are voluntary slaves. We do political slavery, as we have said on this program over and over again. What is a political slave? Somebody who does a political act without political remuneration. That is our issues. The basic issue of voting is not supported by the Democratic Party. That is the right for people of color to vote without interference. It goes on and on. And I say, and I take responsibility for this, that it was obvious, if anyone took history at all serious, that at the end of the Civil War, there would be no or very little improvement for people of color, for the basic reason that the defeated Southern soldier who fought to maintain the terrorism and of slavery, after they were defeated, they were allowed to take their rifles home. Grant said it aloud with a formula supposed of the number of rifles to go, but who was counting rifles? In the Western campaign, the formula was carried forward without anyone even acknowledging it. And but what you had was white defeated soldiers going home with their rifles to the so-called freed slaves. The South, and I'm not going to go into that whole story, we know what happened. As long as there was a military force there, to federal military force, to define and maintain the peace, it was an assemblance of freedom and liberation for people of color. The moment that military force was removed, it was all over, and it has been all over since that time. This leads me to say things like, I'm very upset when people say, guns are not the answer. Well, guns are the answer for the British Empire. Everybody's out there. Not everybody, but many people are out crying for the Queen. Paying attention to the continuation of the monarchy, where the monarchy, the Queen, capitalism, American capitalism is the enemy, and we refuse to fight. What is this program about? Our program is about political prisoners. Those people who we have said over and over again gave their all. For the people, and we cannot, have not been able to educate our people to save them. We are talking about, as I said a moment before, saving the Democratic Party. From what? The Democrats are responsible for Clarence Thomas? Biden allowed this to happen? When he kept quiet about information that he had about Clarence Thomas. The Kennedys kept quiet about their information about Clarence Thomas. What do we have with Clarence Thomas? End of abortion rights, and no one is angry, or too few people are angry at the Democrats over this issue of Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. I could go on and on and on, but we must straighten up and fly right. And that is to analyze correctly what we are doing wrong, or we're going to have Jackson, Mississippi. We're going to have Flint, Michigan. We're going to have Benton Harbor, Michigan. We're going to have Detroit. We're going to have Newark, New Jersey. We're going to have the Lower East Side with no water, with chemicals in the water, water that you cannot drink. Can you imagine that in an industrial society over and over and over again, people of color being without the most basic of that which is necessary to live, water. And we can see in the coming days of global warming and catastrophe who's going to be saved and who isn't going to be saved. And we continue to look down the road with nonsense. But what do you think about this? And so we're going to open up the phone. Sister Betty is going to introduce our guest, and you tell us what's happening and what can we do about it. Sister Betty.
Once again, this is an anatomy of oppression, which requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism. All of the signs get clear. The elite are taking everything back that we fought for. And the question is, and then what did you do? And this program tries to give us strategies and encouragement by letting you hear people who know how to answer that charge, and then what did you do? So without further ado, I want to introduce one of our important parts of this program, Jericho, New York City Jericho, Ann Lamb, and she has an important statement to make. And don't forget to look up the Jericho website, the National Jericho website. Anything you want to know about political prisoners is there. Anything you want to know about mass incarceration is there. Anything you want to know about the legal lynchings of the Army of Occupation is there. Anything you want to know about who's organizing where is there. Sister Ann, your mic is open, and I understand you have some heavy news.
Yes, I do, unfortunately, Sister Betty. Always an honor to be with you and Ralph and the other folk on this wonderful show. We just got news shortly ago that one of our revolutionary stalwarts, Revolutionary Saladin Mohammed, has joined the ancestors. And we'll read the statement, which is from the Black Workers for Justice. Greetings and thank you for your patience and support today. It is with great sadness and profound loss that we announce the passing of our exemplary revolutionary warrior and leader, Comrade Brother Saladin Mohammed. Saladin passed this morning after a long battle with illness. His wife Naima and son Mohammed were with him as he transitioned. He fought until the end. They described him as being at peace. Brother Saladin leaves an outstanding legacy of revolutionary commitment, leadership, consciousness, and direct organizing of our people's struggle for liberation. He was a commander-in-chief of revolutionary forces throughout the Black Liberation Movement and a staunch fighter for the Black working class. He worked tirelessly and with phenomenal energy to organize, guide, and lead our people's fights and battles against oppression. He was an internationalist, upholding the worldwide struggle against capitalism and imperialism. His intellect, insight, and analysis was outstanding in the theory and practice of organizing class and revolutionary struggle and the tactics and strategy of social transformation, national liberation, and socialism for the African-American people. Saladin's unmatched organizing skills led to the formation of the Black Workers for Justice, UE Local 150, and the Southern Workers Assembly, just to recognize only a few of his impactful accomplishments. And these organizational formations of the Black working class were built in the context of North Carolina, a state widely recognized for its anti-unionism and racist history, and in the U.S. South, where the lack of a strong progressive labor movement in the Southeast region has been the Achilles heel of the U.S. national labor movement. The struggle to build a new trade unionism in the U.S. South must continue. His leadership and guidance, upon which thousands around the country and the world relied, is irreplaceable and will be sorely missed by all of us. Saladin was active in the struggles for justice and liberation for more than 50 years. Saladin Mohammed, presente, the Executive Committee, Black Workers for Justice. So we've lost another real giant, and very sad about that. And that is my report for today.
Well, thank you so much for that, Ann. And we will continue with the struggles that are happening over and over. And I'm not going to be a broken clock, but we'll go to Jackson, Mississippi, with Bilal Sunni Ali, Black Liberation Army member and a member of the struggle for liberation for a long, long time.
There and an artist.
And an artist, a musician, etc. Juggle continues. Bilal, your microphone is open.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, everyone. Ralph and Betty and the listeners. I seek refuge in the law against misleading and being misled. I continue to seek refuge in the law against betrayal and being betrayed into ignorance. I ask the law to guide my heart and to guide my tongue as to the many things that I want to bring forward to you. As you know, I'm the mayor of the, actually administrative head of the Imam Jamil Action Network. But before I get into that, is an issue that one of the supporters of Imam Jamil is my son, Chaka Zulu. And I want to introduce my daughter to give you a brief explanation of what has happened, what has taken place with Chaka Zulu over the last, 2 months ago and just the last few days. Here's my daughter, Madiah Israel.
Welcome.
Thank you. Just giving an update, as many know, on June 26th, the night of June 26th, 2022, at about 11:35 p.m., my big brother, Chaka Zulu, was in an altercation where he was at his place of business, and he was approached by a man. My brother tried to de-escalate the situation, and while doing that, he was then jumped by four to five other men. In the process of that happening, they knocked him down, stomped him. At some point, my brother gets up and shooting occurs. My brother is shot 3 different times in the back. One bullet went into his heart, one into his area of his lung, and the other went straight through. And as a result of that, another man was shot, and another man was shot and died in that altercation. My brother was in the ICU and in the hospital for over a month, and in rehab. My brother is still healing. He now has a breastplate in his chest for the rest of his life, and has major lung damage, where they had to remove the lower part of his lung. And so, you know, he's in constant healing, constant prayer. You know, the surgeon came and told us that she didn't think he would survive, and he's the only person that she's ever done this type of surgery on that has survived. I'm sorry, I'm saying presently what we're dealing with right now is the Atlanta Police Department has placed a warrant out for my brother's arrest with the charges of felony murder, aggravated assault, carrying a weapon with the intention or permission of committing a felony, and it was one more. I can't think right now. Simple battery, I believe. So present, and my brother had to turn himself in. He was bonded out, so he is on bond. And we are now currently fighting that battle with him. Of course, he has a lawyer. He has a team of lawyers, and we will be doing a media or a public press conference in the next couple of days.
Well, thank you for that. And the reason that we ask you to come on with this issue is because it's an old issue. We're talking about black businessmen being legally lynched. And we'll hold up with a complete story until you make your press release, and then we certainly will support this because it goes back to Ida B. Wells at the turn of the century when we finally got a few of our feet on the ground, began to progress under this outrageous system of capitalism, the struggle against people in business continues. And so we will wait for the press release to put out all of the facts, and we will look forward to joining you in this struggle, because it is that same old voodoo that follows us about, and we must have a new way of defending, of fighting this. Thank you so much, Sister Betty.
I was just, I want to emphasize that this family has been solidly behind the political liberation from the death camps of the comrade formerly known as H. Rap Brown. And everybody knows that European American males have the right of self-defense. This man didn't just have to defend himself against one assailant. There were four assailants involved here. And he ended up in the hospital as well. So it is not just interesting. It is what we call being targeted while being black. And we will be around to support this family because they support our warriors who are still in the death camp.
And I must make a correction there, Sister Betty. This family has been in this struggle ever since I've known this family, and they were in the struggle before I knew this family, and we're talking 50 years. And
exactly.
So it's about a struggle for the people. And those who struggle for the people must be supported by the people. I will let it go with that and look forward to that press release. And we will look forward to bringing you updates and reasons and the way that we can support this liberation struggle by supporting this family. Sister Betty.
Comrade Bilal, did you want to add anything else?
Yeah, I just want to, in terms of that incident, that there was no one else was injured, and no one else, well, it was another person injured. Matter of fact, one person lost his life, and that's why my son's being charged with murder. But no one else was charged with anything. So far, he's the only one that's been charged. No one else is arrested. There's no warrant for anyone else's arrest, and that's what it's looking like right now.
We will follow up with that, and thank you, and stay in touch. There is more, and everyone on this program, hang in there. There'll be more to talk about on this and other issues. Sister Betty.
All right. As you know, there is a lot going on all over the country. We are at war. We want to open up the microphone for our comrade Dennis Knowles of the African People's Socialist Party, and I believe he has some comrades who are also going to get on the call.
Yes, I want to thank you. This is a very dire program. I see a lot of fires burning. I'm going to read this real quick, and I'm going to get into an introduction. From a comrade who was down in Jackson, Mississippi. The particular character of the African liberation movement within the U.S. is a struggle against U.S. domestic colonialism. Within current U.S. borders, the struggle for African liberation has a special character. It is a struggle to free ourselves from the terror, poverty, and oppression which are caused by being ruled in a foreign land by a foreign alien power. The primary intent of which is to exploit our labor power for the benefit of the U.S. capital system or capitalist system and at the expense of collective economic and social development of our people. This rule of our people by foreigners and aliens for the purpose of exploitation is colonialism, the most barbaric form of economic relationship on the planet. So I say that in light of what we really must form together is a bond collectively, not working within a system or with a system that does not want us here. We mentioned earlier the vote. The vote does not count. Our vote does not count. And those who get into government under a vote, neo-colonizers, always, always uphold the colonial mode of production. Now, I say that as in light of what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi. Right now, the government, the Department of Justice, has formed a new Office of Environmental Justice as a law enforcement agency. They're about to assault and attack African people in Mississippi with the allegations of creating their own demise. That system failed when the taxpaying dollars of white flight took off from Jackson in 1999 in the 90s into the early 2000s, leaving behind no economic stability for Jackson, Mississippi, and a failed system that had been around since the early 1900s, given no direction or true direction, keep or maintain a system to keep clean and fresh water that now diseases and kills the people in Jackson, Mississippi. On this call tonight, I have Sister Sherelle Potts, who is the commander and chairperson of the New Black Panther Party down in Jackson, Mississippi. I want her to elaborate on what she's doing. And this is what we always run up against, a scattered fire. We have to go put out a fire. We don't have the proper tools to put out the fire, but this has been intentionally set up by a government that does not love us. Biden does not love us, as you mentioned earlier on, my brother Ralph. Trump does not love us. Obama didn't love us. So I'm going to let my sister Sherelle Potts, who is the commander and chairperson of the Black Panther Party down in Jackson, Mississippi, speak on what she's been doing. She's been boots on the ground. Sister Potts, can you speak, please?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, brother?
Continue. Ooh. Glad to see you, sister.
Yes, sir. As he said, I have been boots on the ground in Jackson, Mississippi. What I have been doing here is driving around in a U-Haul with water. I deliver about 4 to 6 pallets of water per day to those that are sick and shut in, to daycares, churches, and other entities, retirement apartments, health clinics that receive patients, mental health clinics, regular family health clinics, so that their patients can be able to take a case of water home with them, as well as the employees that cannot get off in time to go to these facilities where they have people driving up to pick up water. Because what I keep reiterating to a lot of people here in Jackson is it's fine to have these locations for people to come and pick up water, but what about the people that cannot pick up water? Those people that don't have cars, and those people that are riding in cars with people, and they go to these places and they tell them, well, we can only serve 2 families and you can only get 2 cases of water per car. So that third person that came to get water now cannot get water. So what I have been doing is I go to certain locations, primarily low income areas and places where I know they really don't have transportation, and I try to do either door to door or have them where they're close enough to me to come and get what they need. And I started this on August the 31st. That's when it really got started, where they was actually promoting about the boil water notice and how bad the water was, because I actually came to Mississippi for Emmett Till weekend, and the day after this happened. So we have been dealing with this water now going on almost a month. As of yesterday, they said now we have a chlorine leak. So meaning the water is still not clean. You still have people dealing with chemicals. I have people calling me about their skin acting up. I have people calling me about them feeling sick because they're forced to drink this water. So I'm just steady trying to go and deliver as much as I can. But my only thing that I'm having a problem with is being able to get the funding for to help pay for the cost of my U-Haul that I went and got myself. And it's a 26-foot U-Haul, and I have them to fill me up with water And I drive around the city of Jackson from morning till night. And I work with the churches or whoever is giving out water. I work with them for whatever time they're doing their thing where they push it to the cars. And after that, I ask them, well, hey, can you put me some water in the back of this truck? Because I'm going to go to some locations that can't get here. So they'll give me water by me putting in my sweat equity. But financially, I need help. So I have been asking for help all over Jackson, all over social media. And I give them, you know, my Cash App. And my Cash App is Mississippi Girl 82.
Wait a minute. Say that again, slowly.
Mississippi Girl 82.
One more time.
It's dollar sign, Mississippi Girl
82. Yes, sir. And that
Where
is my
this?
Cash App. Sir?
Tell us again, Mississippi Girl 82, and I understand there's a dollar sign.
Yes, the dollar sign goes in front of Mississippi Girl 82. And that's my Cash App.
Brother Dennis, what we need you to do is to send us that in an email, and the next announcement we put out on WBAI, we will announce it there. Hopefully next Wednesday, we're going to dedicate our entire radio program on Pacifica, which goes out to 50 other stations. WBAI in New York City will be dealing with the water crisis, not just in Mississippi, but all over. And we're hoping that the people on this call will call in. We have another ally on the call. We have another comrade who's also involved in this struggle. I believe Brother Harris is on the call. Brother Harris, your mic is open.
Yeah, greetings. Greetings to everybody that's on this call, everybody that's tuning in. Stand in solidarity with all of the organizations that combat injustice, not just in Mississippi, but all across the nation and around the world. I got a lot to say, but I'm just gonna sum it up.
Please.
I was born into this fight. I'm actually walking into the footsteps of my father, who was heavily engaged into, the civil rights thing and, just liberation and helped a lot of people, and even though, he was of the Christian faith, but he was more like a Christian revolutionary. He was, a Christian abolitionist, and he just, had these theories about racism and systemically, and he fought against it. He fought against it from the 50s and the 60s and all this right here. And, by the time I was born into the world, he instilled a lot of these valuable principles into me, and it just broadened my mind and, allowed me to see things on another perspective. So basically, my fight has been a long, long fight. And for the most part, I'm thankful for the ancestors, the protection, the powers. I'm thankful for all the people that that paved the way for people like me to be able to have a platform to fight this evil in this dark hour. But what I want to say for the record, is that I was able to go through a transformation, and I was able to go through my own liberation from being in captivity, and I had to fight my way out of captivity. I was able to break my chains, and in the course of that, my father was assassinated, and when he was assassinated, that's when my brother had just arrived home and he witnessed it. And he went after the devils that assassinated our father, and he was shooting at them, and he was not able to catch them. They got away, so somebody called the police, and there was an entire army of cops that arrived, and my brother engaged in a full-fledged gunfight, and four officers got shot, and there were helicopters everywhere and pandemonium and chaos. Innocent bystanders got shot as well, but however, my brother survived. And they threw him in a jail cell and held him there for 11 years without a trial. It was very devastating on my family. My family actually left Mississippi, and that just left me devastated and left my brother devastated because, you know, now both of us was going through a storm, the fight of our life, you know, as our family had got blackballed by white supremacy. And when I was able to you know, go through my transformation and just rise up from, you know, from the ashes, and, you know, my mind was liberated, you know, I waged a war. I went against the entire state of Mississippi. And not only was I freed my brother. And, you know, in the course of that, they dropped all the charges, you know. And then I filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against the entire state of Mississippi, went after everybody. And we fought them tooth and nail for 7 years. For 7 whole years, we fought them. And just last week, the Court of Appeals, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in Louisiana, one of the most conservative group of judges, they talked about Mississippi so bad and scolded them, said it wasn't even worthy. All of the law enforcement officers that was involved in the aftermath of what happened with my family have been stripped of qualified immunity, and we won the case. We just won the case last week. Wow.
So that's a wonderful story of resistance and fight back. And what we are trying to do on this program is to put all of the fights together and understand that the question of Mississippi started over 50 years ago with the Republic of New Africa, whose theory was there are more people of color in Jackson, Mississippi, and the surrounding areas of the Deep South, that is the Mississippi Bottoms, as it was called, and therefore, with the right to vote, they should take over the government. And the issue then was, where will the funds come from? Because if the city and local government, the national or the state government, will not fund justly, you have earned what the voters have called for. Otherwise, our vote is negated due to color. And so this struggle has been going on. And I say congratulations, congratulations to your family, your brother. Join us. Allow us to join you in your continued struggle for liberation. Sister Betty.
So we want to move on because there have been some interesting, shall we say, transitions this during this period of time. We want to open up the mic for one of our warriors, for Mamiya, a staunch advocate for political prisoners, someone who never failed us when we called on him to do something for Sister Lynn or any other political prisoner. I am referring, of course, to our comrade, Henry Higgins. Brother Higgins, your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph and all of our guests and supporters. Tonight, my report comes from Brother Shep of the Black Panther Party, and he wants to alert the Harlem community that there are tours of white groups connected to Columbia University whose mission is to photograph and record the physical plant of Harlem in an effort to redesign it. They're working with the police department and with the blessing of the New York City Mayor Eric Adams and other politicians who support this idea. It's important to remember that Harlem has been under gentrification for a number of decades now. This is not new, but it's continuing and manifests itself in many ways. And he was alerted to this danger by a sister named Natasha Robert, who's a student at Columbia, and noticed that this practice is going on. You very often see groups of people traveling through Harlem. Some of them are tourists because Harlem, of course, is historic and has a number of interesting sites and memories and locations that are historic. At the same time, Columbia University has been for years making an effort to modify and change the demographics of the section of Manhattan, and primarily to remove people of color to have them replaced by white people of color. And this student, Natasha Roberts, has suggested that people contact the president of Columbia University, as well as the professor herself, Erica Wallace, and the dean of CIPA. I'm not sure what CIPA stands for, but these three persons have critical roles in promoting this notion of people going into Harlem and making film documentaries and other inroads to, in effect, change the ethnic composition of Harlem to the point where the enrichment that people of color brought to the area is being reduced and replaced. And so I'm going to give you her email address, and you can then pick up the additional information as to how to contact the professor, the president, Lee Bollinger, and the dean of CIPA to let them know your displeasure with this effort to further gentrify Harlem. Her name is Natasha Robert, lowercase, N-A-T-A-C-H Robert, one word, at gmail.com. And she can fill you in on the particulars as to how to express your displeasure with Columbia University and this effort to further gentrify Harlem, because Harlem has a rich historic experience. People from all over the world travel to Harlem because of its fame and notoriety of having done some very important and historic things. And so, again, under the advice and notification of Brother Shep of the Black Panther, he would like the Harlem community to know about it and to come out in opposition to this further encroachment on such a historic location in New York City.
Well, thank you so much for that. But understand something, that we all must understand something. In 1963, Queen Mother Moore stated, Harlem is the finest geographic part of New York. It is presently inhabited by folks of color, but beware, they're on their way to take it back. 1 year later, on a Friday evening, riding across 125th Street, she said to me, look out the window. This was after a meeting. She always came to political meetings, and I felt that the community of color was not supportive of those brilliant people who understood and fought for our rights. And I dedicated myself to make sure that I drove her home from every meeting that she attended in Harlem. This was my personal contribution to the education of people of Harlem. One day my car broke down one evening, one Friday evening, And I said, I will go with you to your home in the Bronx. She and her elderly sister, Queen Mother Langley, or Mother Langley and Queen Mother Moore, should not be riding the bus late at night. And so as we went down 125th Street, she says, look out the window. And I looked out the window. She says, what do you see? And, you know, I just see crowds of people. And she says, look well, because you will never see this again. Harlem changed. 1963. At the time, I do admit I questioned that they could change Harlem, and there would come a time when you would look out the window of that same bus and see very few people of color. Well, we call it gentrification. Those who know more about this call it ethnic cleansing. And one of the things we say about our communities of color, they are just temporary. We are on the reservation, no different than the indigenous people here. And when they put us or indigenous people on a reservation, if they find something good in that reservation, they move us off. This has been the history of America, and this has been the history that we do not want to look at. It is so clear, time and time again, issue after issue, we just go right on blindly, run and manipulated by colonial administrators, because the program of colonialism is the same the world around. We are the colonists. Until we understand that reality and take steps to fight against this, to take steps to improve, as been stated on this program, our own issues, we will be history, not history. Sister Betty.
Before we open the mics to get a reaction, I want to remind everyone how Comrade Dennis started his presentation when he talked about colonialism. When someone who understands the struggle, his Queen Mother Moore, makes a prediction in the 1960s, Harlem will no longer exist. She is someone who could see where the elites are going in terms of the war against us. This is what we mean by war. Ethnic cleansing is an act of war. When you have a town where people have existed for over 400 years and they can't have adequate drinking water, that means genocide, because our bodies are 70 to 80 to 90% water at any given time. So this is why programs like this exist. We hope we're going to let the sister from Mississippi make her announcement again. But before we do that, I wondered if Brother Henry wanted to talk about the final death of the most vicious capitalist gangster of them all, Queen Elizabeth. Brother Henry, did you want to make a comment on that? Because when we talk about he was the
colonial war. Yes, Sister Betty. Queen Elizabeth was a gangster in the purest sense of the word. They praise her to the highest, but she was part of an enterprise that exploited people of color around the world and made no apologies about it. It's something where they celebrate the very people who exploit and rob the so-called third world of their wealth of human and natural resources. And she was part of that empire, whether it be in Africa, whether it be in Asia, or even here in the Western Hemisphere. The British used to brag that the sun would never set on the British Empire. And they were all over the world, and they became the role model for the United States, who then began to duplicate and expand on that theme. it's important for us to remember that we should shed no tears for her. She enjoyed her life. Her life was built on the exploitation of people of color and their resources. And while they celebrate her here, certainly people of color who understand their history and their legacy of exploitation and abuse have no call to shed any tears for this woman.
Well, I thank you, and I want to go to the sister from Mississippi. Can you quickly give us the information where people can assist that struggle to bring fresh water?
Oh, yes, ma'am. My Cash App is $MississippiGirl82. My contact information is 404-552-1109.
And this is what you must do. We want you to Google Jericho. We want you to send prison information and updates of what you are doing, how you're doing it, and the struggle in that you're waging with the community in Mississippi. We want as many people who are involved in that struggle to participate. Comrade Bilal, did you want to give us some more marching orders in terms of what we can do to support that struggle? Because I am very sensitive and suspicious when a comrade who's been fighting for the liberation of a political prisoner is attacked, number one, by people who amongst some were armed and wounded, hospitalized, critical condition, and that's the one who was charged. So give us some marching orders in terms of how we can support.
Okay, well, right now we're just asking people to stand by as we unfold a ground level strategy against the city of Atlanta and the county of Fulton County, and we'll be having a press conference this coming Thursday. And I'll get back to you with details from the press conference, with the press statement, et cetera. Meanwhile, the struggle that we're engaged in on behalf of our Imam Jamil Al-Amin will proceed on his 79th birthday, October 4th. We'll be having a demonstration here in Atlanta at CNN. At the CNN headquarters, demanding that they print the truth, that they begin printing the truth. There's a confession that's on video that took place in court. There's a sworn confession, and we're demanding that they air that confession. And we also will be having on October the 1st. We have formed a coalition to support the COINTELPRO full disclosure bill. That's Bill 2998 in Congress. And we'll be having our first webinar that'll feature Ward Churchill, as well as a young sister named Nina Morgan. Nina Morgan is the upcoming that breed and that generation of political prisoners from the era of the rebelliousness that took place following the aftermath of the death of George Floyd and George Floyd and Michael Brown and the other deaths around that era. That's all a part of the struggle, and we're saying that the fight against COINTELPRO is the fight against the issue that has affected my son and many other youth. It's COINTELPRO all over again. It's the counterinsurgency program by the government, and we see what it is, and we're not backing down from our statements. As you
final
can
word.
Continue to support.
Thank you so much. I want to advise everybody that tomorrow night, at 6 p.m. in New York City at the Forum,
That's on 37th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. There will be Stop the Repression, and we will have Chairman Omari Yeshitela as the special guest for this activity. Once again, it's the People's Forum, and you can contact 631-908-4598 for more information. The People's Forum is on 320 West 37th Street in Manhattan. And I believe, Sister Ann, it's not soon to tell you we are starting to bring Leonard Peltier home. Sister Ann, would you tell them about the event that's coming up in October?
Yes, I certainly can. Not only that, I just got a statement from Leonard that he wrote to this walk that's happening from Minneapolis to D.C. We will be holding the event at the People's Forum on October 8th from 1 to 4 p.m. We will have Leonard's attorney and former judge. We will have Dan Battaglia from the International Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. We will have another brother who was an important witness at one of his more infamous parole hearings in 1990. We will have Lenny Foster, who, in addition to being an amazing human being in his own right, is Leonard's spiritual advisor, has been his friend for many, many years. So if I have time to read the short statement from Leonard, I would love to read it. He said this to the folk who are walking for him, mostly organized by the American Indian Movement, and he says, "Aho, good morning, friends and family. I greet you this morning with an overwhelming feeling of love and thankfulness for the walk you are about to take on my behalf. I appreciate the organizers and the spiritual leaders who are giving their time and energy to make sure you are safe physically and spiritually. I am humbled that you are doing this for me, because I know there are many issues affecting Native people that deserve national and worldwide attention. Murdered and missing Indigenous women, water and resource protection, the land back movement, and of course, basic human rights are on my mind. In my mind, I can picture the route you are walking and will be with you in prayer and mindfulness all of the way. Eau Claire is a very beautiful area, and I remember my brother Red Quill performing at the college many times. At Madison, he's offered tobacco for the Ho-Chunk and Meskwaki nations who called that area home over 12,000 years ago. Chicago has the third largest urban Native American population with more than 65,000 brothers and sisters. Potawatomi, Miami, and Illinois nations were among the tribes forced to cede lands to the U.S. government in the early 1800s. Please acknowledge your ancestors, as I know you will, as you walk shortly on the land holding their footprints. I look forward to being with all of you. I look forward to being part of the voice for our people. We can never forget the past sacrifices made on our behalf, but we can move forward with one mind to create a better world, not only for our people, but for all men. Let us be of one mind as we begin this journey in the spirit of great cause, Leonard Peltier."
Well, thank you so much for that. We will have another reading of that statement. It's too important to let it go at the end of a program. Thank you all for listening in. Tomorrow night, 8:30, 99.5 on your FM dial, WBAI, Ralph Pointer, What's Happening. We will continue this discussion and other issues of great import.
Yeah, you should know Jericho carries all of the organizations that are fighting in Mississippi to bring back clean water. There are several organizations, and Jericho is supporting all of them. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Good night, my brothers and sisters.
Night.